Sometimes, Lord, we feel like we're just standing on a mountaintop, overlooking this valley of dry bones. But I also hear the word of the Lord that says, breathe on these slain that they may live. You know, we know so much that no matter how much we know, I think that's caused me more grief than anything, because there's so much knowledge today. And it's good knowledge. It's wonderful knowledge. But yet there's so much dryness, because we know, but yet we experience so much. You know, we were discussing a little bit last night, some of us, about how God has given men such inventive ideas. You know, like the motor car. Just a simple idea, and look what has come out of that idea. It has progressed so much from that first idea of an automobile. Everything that God has given to man, man has taken that idea and expounded on it. And the technology today is so awesome. You know, today, you know, I've been showing this little recorder around. High quality, studio quality recording. And a little gadget like this. And I remember when computers first came out, you'd have to fill a room full of machinery to run a little bit of information. And now we have computers on our desks that can run, you know, that at one time it would have taken a room full of tapes and equipment to do what we can do on our desktops. God gives man these tremendous inventions. And all of them have progressed so tremendously. And why hasn't that been passed on to the church? You see, the church, now I know some will argue with me on this, but the church has never progressed since the first apostles passed from the scene. It's never progressed. It's the only idea that God has given man that is not advanced. And why is that? Because each of us believe that we have the only right concept about God that there is. And you can't find a Christian denomination that doesn't worship Jesus. But I can't find any that does what he says. I really can't. Even among those of us who are the most intellectual and have the most knowledge, there's very few who have actually entered into the realm of doing what he said. There's a desire within us. I mean, all of us, I used to cry and say, God, where's the reality in all of this? You know, where's the joy? Where's the power that I was supposed to get when I spoke in tongues? And I can't even walk past a porno shop without going inside. Say, God, what's wrong? And I knew so much. I studied books and I studied the Bible and I studied commentaries and I knew everything God was going to do. I knew when the rapture was going to come. And I studied the rapture. And when I read about the pre-trib rapture, I was convinced God is coming pre-trib. We're not going to go through the tribulation. And then I got the books on mid-trib, and I read them, and the scripture references, and I was convinced that's got to be mid-trib. And then I got the books on the post-trib. And then I became confused. And I said, God, what is the truth? You know, and I did that with almost every doctrine that I was taught. And all I became was confused. Who has the truth? Where is the truth? Where's the church that I can go to? Where do I get this power to live? And I found it. When I closed all the books, God told me at one point in my life, close your Bible, burn your notes, and don't open it again until I tell you to. But just in small ways, the Lord began to reveal to me that if I would just begin to just stay open to Him and just as much as possible. One time I asked God, if you have an eraser, if you could just erase everything I know about you, all the doctrines and, you know, and all the stuff I've learned, if you could just erase everything. And that really, that's what the Lord wanted. He wanted me to begin to be desperate enough to close all the books, quit listening to all the teachers, and quiet myself long enough to hear what He had to say to me. And He began to speak things to me, and I was still in the church world at the time, and He began to speak things to me that at first I thought they were, you know, I thought it was the devil trying to deceive me. And I would go to the pastors and they would tell me, the devil's trying to deceive you. Of course, God is all loving and all merciful and all powerful. But what you're hearing can't be God. God can't be that good. But then what changed my life more than anything else is that overwhelming presence and love that He began to build within me. Because we all know God is love. But when I really experienced that love, and I shared a little bit this morning, but to really enter into that heart of unconditional love. You think you've been persecuted in the past? Wait till you enter this realm where you won't have a finger to point at anyone. Where you won't tell anyone, I have the truth, but you don't. And you won't tell anyone, you have to do it the way I did. Because God gives us such a vision of His heart. And we know that what He provided, the suffering, that everything that Jesus went through, was not for a few people. You see, we've been told that really we have to do something. Well, at first we're told, no, you don't have to do anything. You come to Jesus just as you are. Remember the song, just as I am, you come to me. But after you come to Him, that you can't be the way you are anymore. Religion will demand your life to change. And if you don't have the strength within yourself, then you find you're in a condition that I was in. Loving God. I really love God, but I didn't know God. I really didn't know God. I loved Him, but I knew what I had been taught about Him. You can't enter His presence with sin in your life. You can't smoke cigarettes and blow smoke in the face of Jesus and think you're going to go anywhere with God. And you certainly can't be a prostitute or a homosexual and think that you can enter the presence of God in that condition. That's what religion will tell you. Why? Because they know all about Calvary. They know about the story. But they've never entered into the heart of God. And love God. I love God with all of my heart. I often say about David in the Old Testament. David was a man after God's own heart. We all know that, the scriptures say. But David never knew the heart of God. He was a man after God's heart. Loved God with all of his heart. But he didn't know the heart of God. And I can tell you, the 99% of us who call on the name of Jesus today do not know his heart. As much as David sought after God and loved God, he was continually praying for God to destroy his enemies and to crush them that came up against him. As much as the Old Testament prophets prophesied and loved God, They never entered into the heart of God. Not really entered into the heart of God. And that's why when Jesus came, he was so rejected. Because Jesus came to reveal the heart of his Father. Man didn't know God's heart before Jesus came. All man knew was that God was one that had to be obeyed. God was fierce. And even some of our New Testament, some of the most famous New Testament, even in modern times, have not left that concept of an angry, vengeful, wrathful God. But that's what Jesus came to nullify, that concept of a God who would kill his enemies. Why did the Jews kill him? He broke their Sabbath law. He told them their Old Testament scriptures. He never agreed with some of the things that they believed that came right out of their scriptures. He said, I know what your word says. It is written, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, you love your enemies. You do good to them who despitefully use you. You see, Jesus came again to reveal the heart of his Father. And to make us realize that we were so loved that he came to reveal that love, that he was even willing to go to a cross to show us that even those that were nailed him to a cross, he could say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Those words resounded in my ears for so long. You see, most of us, most of the church world, and I was there for years, we still have not come out of that concept of an angry, vengeful God who will love you only if you obey him. Oh, he'll still love you, but if you disobey him, my God, you don't know what's going to happen to you. And eventually, if you never shape up, this God who loves you created a place where he'll place you for eternity for your disobedience. You see, this is the kind of God, this is what we were all raised with. And you wonder why we're so confused. God loves us, yet he created a place where most of his creation is going to suffer eternally. Now tell me, folks, those of you who have experienced this will relate to what I'm saying. There's no way when you enter into the heart of God and in the love of God that you would do ill to anyone for any reason whatsoever. The only thing you want to do is to preach the gospel of good news. Do you not know that you have within your very own being, you have what is called a spirit? Do you not realize that that spirit within you, once it is ignited, once it is put aflame by the Spirit of God, do you not realize that your spirit and God's spirit are one spirit? There's no such thing as a human spirit and a Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And when I began to realize that, and I began to cry out to God, oh God, I want to experience this. I want to know what it's like to be one with God. And he just said to me, then you have to learn how to love. Without any bigotry towards any man, any culture, or even any religion. You see, we have to realize there's only one God. And that one God is the life substance of everyone on this planet, whether they know it or not. You would not take a breath without God's life within you. And so that's why the scriptures say we have to be regenerated, born again, because our spirits were deadened to to the knowledge of being one with God. And once that spirit within us is quickened, most of us, because we think it's the thing to do, we go to church. Then we get indoctrinated. And then we learn all the bigotry. You know, if we just would have followed our heart in the very beginning. When I first met the Lord, I wept for like 3 days. And if I had just stayed in that love relationship, He would have very quickly brought me into the experience of more of His love. But because I listened to my religious leaders, I was put into bondage. Thinking that because I smoked, I couldn't please God. Because I couldn't give up my habits. Many times I was told, don't think you can enter into the presence of God with sin in your life. Well, one day I realized, if I can't enter His presence with sin in my life, nobody would ever get there. Nobody. So, you know, I've been speaking for several years on the magnitude of Calvary's victory. And we all know the scriptures, when He died, you died. But we still limit that to those who call on the name of Jesus, or we limit it to, you know, our Christian religion. But I'll tell you, when He died, all of creation died in Him. No one was left out. And when He raised from the dead, He brought forth a new creation man. And that is the man that we meet when we're regenerated in our spirit. That we become then the manifestation of God on this earth. But we don't act like it because of our culture and our teaching and our upbringing. I'll tell you, Christianity, not the people, don't misunderstand me, but the system is the most bondage, the most hellish thing that you can get involved with. But people that have entered into the heart of God, God is causing such an awakening to take place in these days that there are literally thousands of people all over the world who are realizing that God really does love everyone. And that when He died on the cross, you know, in our religious churches, our systems, they've told us this for years, He died for your sins. Yet on the other hand, they say, well, He died for you, but. And the problem with that but is that the system of Christianity has never came away from the what we call the Judeo-Christian religion. And that's the problem. We are still under an old covenant mindset that we must be good or we can't be blessed. Yet I tell people that God will only do two things for you. Only two. He'll bless you and He'll love you. That's all. And if you get into disobedience, if you, whatever it is, God will bless you and love you. And if you understand that, and if you can experience His love in that capacity, guess what happens? Your life is transformed. Yes, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. How can we, I don't know how many denominations there are today, 2,000, 3,000, maybe more. All worshiping the same man, Jesus, the same God, what we call the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All reading the same Bible. And we can't even go to church together. Shouldn't that tell us something? Yet we feel justified in our divisions because we have the truth. We think. And these other guys, you know, I'll never forget when I first received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. My pastor told me, That's a deception. I was raised in a nominal, you know, what you call a nominal Christian denomination. They didn't believe it was possible for the Spirit to move today. And so I've always been told, ever since I can remember, I've been told, I've been listening to demons or angels of light. Because almost everything I've done in my Christian life has been contrary to what my religious teachers would say I ought to do. And that's why the mainstream of what I minister is that you have an anointing. Everyone has the anointing. Everyone. We talk about, boy, this guy was really anointed. But the scriptures say that you have an anointing. And that anointing that you have will teach you all things, and it's the truth, and it won't lie to you. And Jesus said, He said, when I go away, I'll send the Comforter to you, the Holy Ghost, and He will reveal all things to you. Well, we haven't believed that simple little truth, because we have to run to the pastor, or we have to run to the prophet. And we have to submit ourselves to what man thinks about God. Whether you're a Baptist, or a Pentecostal, or a Lutheran, or a Church of God, or a Mormon, no matter what sect or religious box you're in, you must submit to that way of thinking. And so you'll never know the heart of God, if you believe that. Because we have such an open heart for ministry, I've discovered some of the most loving people in the world are in what we call false religions. It is so easy to begin to walk in the manifested presence of God. It is so easy. If you will just, I've been sharing this a lot lately, but if you will just follow one command that Jesus said, just one. Now, we have worshipped Him for years without doing what He said. But if you'll just one, He said, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you would just meditate in that, and every time something crosses you, if that would just rise up in you, how would I want this person to treat me in this situation? You will very quickly find yourself ushered into such a love and compassion for humanity. Because that's God's heart. He wants to bless everybody. If you go to a Muslim or to a Buddhist, and you tell them how wrong they are, or you try to convince them that Jesus is the only way, there's no way you're gonna get through to them. But if you love them, if you show the love of God, the manifested presence of His love to whoever, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, without preaching to them at all, you will soon be able to usher them in right where you are. You see, that's what God wants. He wants His love through His church. He wants the world to open, the church to open their arms to the whole world and receive them regardless of what they believe. Because you see, folks, it's not your belief that gets anywhere with God. You can believe everything right. There's people today all over the world that believe that Jesus is the Savior and they've accepted Him with the words of their mouth, and yet their churches, thousands upon thousands of Christians dead, sitting in church. It's not what you know. You can know Jesus as a Savior. You can worship Jesus. You can even love God and not really know Him without knowing His heart. Once you enter into His heart, there is no way that you will ever again separate yourself from anyone. Because of what they believe, what they think, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't. What matters is what is in your heart. And I often share that, I think I did this weekend already, but, you know, supposing you were born in a Muslim family, born in a country that the gospel wasn't allowed to be preached. But the scriptures say no man can come unto the Father except the Father draw him. But supposing you were in a foreign land like that, and the Lord began to draw you, there's something in you that begins to reach out for something that you just know God exists. It's an intuitive thing. And so you cry out to God. Perhaps you don't know His name. You don't know anything about Jesus. But there's something in you that knows that there's a Creator. And so you cry out to this Creator. And you will experience the same thing that a Christian experiences when he comes to an altar and kneels and says, God, I receive you, or Jesus, I receive you. The only difference is that the Muslim or the Buddhist that does that, he doesn't know what you know. But yet we will say, if you're a typical Christian, there is no way that man could make it into heaven. Because nobody has given him the right information. And if you don't have the right information, you can't be saved. You're going to hell. You see, God is not looking for information. He's looking for people who are seeking them with their heart. And there will come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But it won't be by coercion and force. It'll be because they see the glory of His majesty. They experience the essence of His presence in His people. They experience this love flowing that they don't understand how. When I begin to experience this love, I say, God, I don't understand this. I'm still doing so many things that I know you disapprove of. Oh, and he'd say, Gary, that's why I died. Why would I die if you could make it on your own? And so I learned not to listen, to the legalists. I often tell people that, the Christian church will tell you, you still have to keep the law. In the book of Deuteronomy, where we got the law, the whole book of Deuteronomy, but in Deuteronomy 28 is where God begins to tell people, He says that if you will obey my laws and you will keep my commandments, you will be blessed in the field, your cattle will be blessed, your children will be blessed, your homes will be blessed, you'll be prosperous. There's 15 verses of blessing for you if you'll obey all the words that the Lord has said to you. But if you don't obey all my commandments, you can't pick and choose. If you do not obey all my commandments, then all these curses will come on you. And there's about 56 verses of cursing comes on you. If you don't keep all the law and all the words that the Lord commanded you. Well, that's what the most of the Christian church does to us today. They say, yes, Jesus died for you. Yes, He paid for your sins, but you must. And then comes the endless things that we must do to maintain His grace and His favor. So, for the most part, the whole Christian world has lost the concept of what it means to really be a Christian. In the early centuries, they were called Christians because they were Christ-like. It's not a matter of seeing a bunch of rules on a wall and saying you have to keep these rules to please God. No, because the scriptures say in Jeremiah that I will give you a new covenant and I will write my laws on your heart. Ezekiel 36:26 says the same thing. I will take out of you that stony heart, that rebellious heart. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. But it has nothing to do with the human concept of yourself coming under some kind of a law to please God. No. It's about God's grace. I would say that grace is God coming to you. Grace is a divine enabler. When grace really is unfolded within your heart, it becomes a divine enabler, enabling you by the power of His Spirit to love as He loved and walk as He walked. Everything that Jesus did is available to us as we learn to live the life of unconditional love and surrender. And it's really that simple. Again, the scriptures say, you know, the truth will make you free. And you don't need a whole lot of truth to be free. If you would really know that one thing that Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That one truth, if you begin to practice it, no matter how hard it is, you begin to practice that, that one truth will set you free. Why? Because it'll usher you in to the love and the heart of God. It's not about keeping any kind of an outward rule and regulation. You see, that's why the Ten Commandments were put in the Ark, because the Ark was a type of Christ, wood signifying humanity, gold signifying divinity. So the Ark was acacia wood overlaid with gold, and the commandments put inside the Ark was simply was an illustration or a type of when Jesus came, He didn't keep outward laws. The very life essence of His Father came from His very being. And so I say, we've always misunderstood the Ten Commandments. They were not Ten Commandments. They were Ten Promises. You see, when this wonderful message of God's love dawns within your heart, when the regeneration takes place within you, when you're really born again by the Spirit and the Word of God, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt not steal. See, these were promises that was given to the new creation man. And that's why Paul, in all of his epistles, Paul never ministered to a fallen creation. Paul never looked at anyone as though they were unworthy or sinful. In fact, he himself said to the Corinthians that henceforth we are to know no man after the flesh. Even Jesus. He said we once knew Jesus after the flesh, but we don't want to know Him that way anymore. Why don't we want to know Him that way anymore? Because we must have our eyes unveiled to the new creation man. Jesus is the head of a brand new creation. And He, by the power of His Spirit, is rising within His body on the earth today. And we know Him according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. We're to know no man after the flesh. We judge no man after the flesh. But we do judge man, but we judge him with a righteous judgment. So what do we do with someone like me, who was caught up as a born-again, Spirit-filled believer, still not able to pass an adult bookstore with going in? What do we do with them? We must do to everyone what Jesus did with me in His love. And say, Gary, what you're doing does not change who you are. Remember that. Whatever you're doing does not change who you are. I have placed my incorruptible seed in the very midst of your being. And I don't look at you according to the flesh. I don't look at your weaknesses. I don't look at your habits. I look way beyond the mind, emotion, and will of a carnal man, and I see deep within you my seed. And I will continue to speak to you and to guide you and to lead you until that seed within you, until the consciousness of being a son arises within you. And then you will walk and fulfill all the righteous requirements of the law. But it won't be by your effort. It'll be by my Spirit within you. Can you see if we had this kind of message in our churches? You know, I tell people, don't leave your Baptist church or wherever you go to church. It's not a matter of leaving church. It's a matter of opening your heart to God, and you can transform people around you. And then no condemnation for any man. And realize that the best we can offer anybody is to tell them the truth about God. And it's not that difficult. It's just He loves you. And we've got to quit putting the butt after. He just loves you. You see, again, God can change what you're doing. But, you see, what you're doing doesn't change who you are. You are the Son of God on this earth. You have everything that God is in that seed. And a seed does not struggle to grow. A seed just gets watered and nourished and begins to plant its roots in the ground, and it just grows up and produces a corn kingdom or a flower kingdom. And there's no difference. You don't have to teach a seed of corn how it's supposed to look. I've shared how that if I would bring a seed of corn in here, and none of you had ever seen an ear of corn, I just bring in the seed, and I begin to preach to you about the corn kingdom. It would be very difficult for me to describe really the fullness of the corn kingdom by you looking at a seed. But that's what all of Christianity has done. We all have the seed of Christ in us, and all of these religious systems have different concepts about what this seed is supposed to look like. And they've never seen an ear of corn. Once you see the ear of corn, then you have no problems. You know what an ear of corn... We should be looking, as the scriptures say, beholding and reflecting as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And again, it doesn't matter what sin you're caught up in. It doesn't matter what hang-ups you have in your life. Nothing matters. Except you begin to look at Jesus as your mirror. And realize that as you hear Him speak, and as you read His Word, it is a mirror. And that is the essence and the substance that you have within you. You have the very same life and nature that He had. And I think the only perfect people He ever got angry with was the religious people. He had no problem with the sinners and the publicans and the tax collectors. The only people that give me any problems today at all are the religious people. Because I'm preaching a message of God's unconditional love. And there was a write-up. A guy wrote up about me, you know, about 3 or 4 months in a row. And he'd say, this Mr. Sigler, he called me. He'd say, this guy, he's the latest on the New Age guru. Well, he'll tell you, and this is a quote from his magazine, this Mr. Sigler, he will tell you that you can do anything and God will forgive you. And I'm thinking, man, that's good news. And that's right, that is what I tell you. But what does a religious mind do with that? You telling me I can live any way I want to? You're doing it. You're doing it right now, all of you. You're doing it. So no, it isn't a license to remain in sin, as Paul said, but what it is to understand that in the heart of God, it's like I said, Paul ministered to the new creation man. He knew that the flesh was done. And so he would say things like, God has chosen you before the foundations of the earth that you would be holy and without blame. And we read that and we look at ourselves or we listen to our preacher and we say, well, that must be an elect group. And so we come out with these doctrines and say, well, that was an elect group. And God has chosen some before the foundation of the world, but the rest of you are going to hell. But Paul wasn't talking. Paul's ministry, he did not minister to the flesh. He ministered to the new creation man. Paul looked at the Ephesian church and he said, you guys are the fullness of Him who fills everything, everywhere with Himself. Well, if you believe that, you'd act like that. You see, the problem is we believe these things intellectually. We have to because, you know, we've been told you have to believe the Scriptures. And we do believe the Scriptures, but it's all in our intellect. Once we realize that we are the fullness of Him who fills everything everywhere with Himself, then everywhere we go, the only thing that emanates from our being is His presence and His love. Everything that God is, we are. If you take a cup and take a cup of water out of the ocean, everything that the ocean is in that cup. Everything. That cup isn't all the ocean, but all of the ocean, everything of the ocean is in the cup. That's us. God has deposited His substance within us. Everything that He is, all of His attributes, all of His loveliness, everything that God is deposited within our being. Yet we've been told we have to act a certain way or go to a certain church. You know, I'm sure you do, that religion is the root cause for every war that we ever fight. I don't get into political issues, but I say this. How can we ask for God to protect us while we kill our enemies? Can you imagine Jesus saying, go out and kill your enemies? Even in the Old Testament, when the people walked in the presence of God, they didn't fight their battles. So we don't have to fight our battles either. But see, we have to walk in the reality. To walk in the kingdom of God is to walk in the reality knowing that we don't have to fight for anything. We have one obligation, and that is to love. Can you imagine if we really loved our enemies? And I've practiced in this. I've practiced this again and again to win over people that didn't like me. You can do it if you love them. Sometimes sitting in a restaurant, you can see maybe a little old couple over there struggling to try to get enough money together to pay a bill. You can buy their dinner. You can, there's so many ways that you can express the love of God and don't tell anybody about it. You just begin to love people and fulfill a need where you see it. And you don't need any recognition at all, no recognition at all, because there is such an overwhelming satisfaction in meeting other people's needs. And you get to the place where, my goodness, for years my wife and I, we've given cars away. We gave a home away once to a young couple. We've given away our rent money. See, it just doesn't matter because you know your substance. You know God is the source of all there is. And if He's the source of all there is, you can be a conduit to release that source of all that He is. We have produced over the years thousands upon thousands upon thousands of audio tapes and books to over 70 countries of the world without ever asking for a penny, without ever putting an envelope in a package to send an offering back, without ever making mention of any finances. We have literally ministered to over 72 countries with thousands upon thousands of tapes and literature. How can we do that? We're asked that all the time. How can you do that? Oh my goodness. Everything that He has is ours. Isn't that the gospel of the kingdom? If you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things that you're seeking for will just come to you. This is the principle of Isaac versus Ishmael. Abraham produced an Ishmael trying to produce the son that God had promised to him. And Abraham was so upset because he said, God, won't you bless Ishmael? God said, yes, I will. I'll bless him. But my promise is not to Ishmael. My promise is to Isaac. And Ishmael represents a religious mind working by the sweat of your brow through manipulation, through fundraising. God will bless you. He abundantly blesses that mess out there because their hearts are right. They're trying to serve God. But if you're a son, if you're an Isaac, God just, everything He has is yours. It's a better way. It really is. You see, I know that God can speak to me and say, next year, I want you to go to any place in the world. And I don't have to send out an appeal letter. I don't have to start praying, oh God, supply my need. I don't have to tell people I'm going to Africa and I'm just believing God to pay my way. That's all manipulation. Because I know if I'm really supposed to go, the money will be there. And we have operated this way for years. So, you can't argue with the man who walks in the experience. But just as real as that is, I'm telling you that the love of God is even more real. To where you can absolutely love unconditionally without trying to change anybody. My wife often says she feels so much better since she gave up on hope. What do you think? Give up hope. Hope of changing yourself. Give up hope of finding the right church. Give up hope of trying to change somebody. Just give it all up. And just begin to enjoy God in your day. Enjoy Him and worship Him in whatever way that you enjoy doing that. Maybe listen to a CD or listening to a message or reading the scriptures. It doesn't matter the way. It's that we get to know the heart of God. So everywhere we go, we just tell people, please, just forget all this religious stuff and begin to sit in the quiet every day and just begin to open your heart and say, Father, just show me your love. Because you're not going anywhere without it. You just be religious and intellect and know all the stuff, but you'll never, ever walk in the kingdom of God in reality without His love being formed in you. And that's what it's all about. Oh, foolish Galatians, Paul said, who were trying to keep the law. He said, who has bewitched you that you would go back and try to keep the law? Oh, how I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. See, that's the message that Jesus came to bring. That God forms His life, His nature and His character within us that enables us to go forth and reconcile the whole world back to Him. We don't have to tell them they're sinners. They're lost. We just have to tell them, do you realize that God has accepted you? God has accepted you. What do you mean received? God has accepted you. Just begin to open to Him and say, Father, show me. Even about Jesus. Is He really the Son? Is He really the Savior? What about this? And that's the only way we ever really know. Is when we individually forget about all these doctrines that we've been taught. All this religious nonsense and none of it is true. I shouldn't say none of it, but probably a very small percentage. So that's all God wants. He knows you can't change your life. He knows that you still think that you're a human being and you can't possibly do and live like Jesus did. Well, He knows you can, but you don't. But He will reveal to you your true nature. He will reveal to you your born-again experience. He will reveal to you that you're a new creation, man. And you will get into that area of His kingdom where you know that you can do anything whatsoever that He asks you to do. If it's raise the dead, heal the sick, open the blind eyes. And the only thing that you have to be willing to do is what He says. And if He don't say it, don't do it. Don't get prayer lines and try to get everybody healed. Just wait till you hear His voice. And then when you hear His voice, you learn to do what He says and walk in the kingdom in reality. I'll close for now. I just so desperately want everyone to enter into this heart. To know that God has no ill feelings. God has no anger. You see, we were taught from the very beginning that when Adam fell, God was angry. He was so angry that he sent his own son and had him killed to appease his anger. A lot of religions, a lot of Christian churches still teach that. That God wasn't angry when Adam fell. No more than you would be angry if you told your child that, you know, there's a bottle of poison up here. Don't you get into that, because if you drink it, it'll kill you. If he got up there and drank it, would you be mad at him? Or would you be concerned and do everything within your being to make that child realize he just made a mistake? And that's the simple, that's God's heart in the very beginning. Is that he had always had a way for man to come back and realize the greatness of his love and compassion for everyone. Amen. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434, for information concerning her music.